Adam.
Appreciate it. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another installment of Awaken Life Talk Radio Evolved. We're actually coming to you live worldwide right here on the Awaken Life and Transformation Talk Radio Networks, as well as through our flagship station, WBOQ in Rhode Island. So I'm Adam Seward, your host, and I'm feeling very blessed because hosting this show gives me the opportunity and the gift of talking to some of the most courageous and compassionate people on the planet. And these are the global game changers that are really, in my view, coming to the aid of a hurting world. And it's a world that's hurting. It's going through growing pains, is my sense. You know, right on the verge of a large awakening. People are awakening everywhere, and it's largely due to the work of people like our guests today. So today we're going to be talking about what it means to transform our lives through letting go. And letting go is absolutely one of my favorite topics. And our guest today, I'll give you the introduction. Hale Dwoskin is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Sedona Method, Your Key to Lasting Happiness, Success, Peace, and Emotional Well-Being. Some of you may know him from the movie The Secret. Hale is also an international speaker and featured faculty member at both the Esalen and Omega Institutes. And for over a quarter century, he has regularly been touching people through the Sedona Method. He's been teaching them in corporations throughout the United States and the United Kingdom. So it's truly a pleasure for me to have you on today, Hale.
No, thanks for having me.
So I'm really, if it's okay with you, I figure we can just jump right into helping people, well, really to teaching people how to transform their lives through letting go and your method. So Hale, I mean, this is fun for me because I'm new to a lot of your work, and I've been spending a lot of today and the weekend, you know, just really immersing myself in the Sedona Method. But I thought maybe you could kind of give the listeners an introduction to the work that you've been doing through this method.
Sure. Well, the Sedona Method is a simple, powerful, easy to learn, and easy to duplicate technique that shows you how to tap your natural ability to let go of any uncomfortable, unwanted thought, feeling, or belief in the moment. It is something that works on just minor annoyances and the petty things and or the little stresses that happen throughout the day, and it also is something that helps dissolve even the deepest, darkest trauma. And at the same time, it's a tool that shows you how to reawaken to the truth of who you are. Because at the core or the key is that right here, right now, we are already whole, already complete, already enough as we are. We are already the presence of awareness. Yet, we don't notice it because we're so busy obsessing over the contents of our mind, the thoughts and feelings and beliefs we have about what's being perceived. And we never examine perceiving itself and notice that perceiving is merely a functioning of the one. And so as you let go, as you rediscover the truth of who you are, everything gets easier and it opens vast vistas inside of you for self-exploration.
I just love it, you know, because we talk a lot about waking up and showing up, you know, as being sort of the core principles of an awakened life. Waking up meaning just what you said, waking up to the truth of who we are, pure consciousness or our Christ consciousness, Buddha nature, but then expressing it in the world, you know, through our activities in our life, yeah. You know, which some people talk about as Sahaj Samadhi or, you know, but, you know, we talk about being embodied and integrated, and it sounds like that's really what you're referring to here in terms of that, when you talk about waking up to who you are, you're really talking about something larger than just the person or personality.
Oh, yes, yes. Again, it's helpful to be familiar with the personality and to be aware of how it functions. But at the same time, what you are is that which is aware. You're not that which is perceived. If you can conceive it, perceive it, feel it, sense it, taste it, smell it, it's an appearance. That's the opposite of what most of us believe. We think that if we can touch it and feel it and smell it and et cetera, yeah, it must be real. But the same people, all experiencing the same thing, are having very different experiences. And that's because it isn't as real and as solid as it appears to be. That's just a belief. And what you can discover is that the real solidity comes from just being what you already are, awareness. Everything that we experience is merely appearing in or on that awareness that we are. And at the same time, we need to deal with that appearance. The Sedona method is a tool for letting go of whatever inner obstacles you have to dealing with the appearance appropriately in an integrated, alive, open, and happy way. And at the same time, it's a way to discover that you're not any appearance. It's unusual in that most tools either focus on one or the other. They either focus on discovering the truth of who you are, or they Yes. focus on mastering the world. And in my Mm-hmm. experience, the Sedona method is a bridge. It focuses in both directions, depending on your interest, awareness, development, your state of consciousness. And no matter which direction you go in, a lot of people start out by just wanting to improve their golf game or make more money or have better relationships or have more radiant health and well-being, which is great.
Yeah.
and nothing wrong with any of that. Or just simply wanting to be happier.
Sure.
And as they start to achieve those goals, they discover there's something much larger, something beyond the achievement of any goal. And, Ben, you took a breath, so I thought you had a question.
Oh, yeah, well, I just was appreciating what you were saying about the sometimes it's our golf game that gets us in the door, but often, or our desire for more money or whatever, but it's often that's that in a sense, it's almost a way that a smaller desire, you know, can lead you to, you know, the ultimate or to the infinite. And, yes. So I just, yeah, yes. So that was kind of what I was thinking as you were talking.
Oh, okay. And I agree with you. Again, that we assume that the infinite is separate from the specific, but there is no barrier. There's no boundary. In fact, you can actually check in this moment. Can you focus on just your room where you're sitting? And then check to see if you can find where the room ends and awareness begins. Or where awareness ends and the room begins. Or is the room merely appearing in or on that awareness that you are?
Hmm. Yeah, I've heard some refer to it as like a four-dimensional holographic projection. You know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways of describing it. And
yeah.
But all descriptions fall short because if you can describe it, you're describing mind.
Right.
That
right.
which you are is present to mind, aware of mind, gives life yeah. to mind. But
that's what I appreciate about that exercise. You know, we've talked about awakening technologies, which are these things that are evolving. You know, they're part of the evolutionary impulse itself. You know, ways for us to become more aware and to operate. But so much of it really is experiential. You know, like you were right. saying, it's one thing to think about it or to give it a name or a label, but it's the experience that is where transformation seems to take place. So I just really, that's why I like that. It's a great exercise for, you know, tapping into that, the experience of that awareness.
Exactly. I mean, again, what you probably noticed when you just simply did that, that simple exercise that took less than a minute, is your awareness was more self-obvious to itself, and the room seemed less solid. It didn't disappear, and it doesn't have to. It's a big misconception. A lot of us think that we need to block out the world, you know, to discover the truth of who we are, but that's assuming the world is separate from that truth, and that's another assumption. And it also, there's another assumption. A lot of this is reinforced by some of the Eastern teachings, that you have to know how to separate yourself from your senses in order to experience that truth of who you are. But that truth of who you are permeates every sense, because it's functioning through seeing and hearing and feeling and experiencing. Again, it's not separate. There's only one. There isn't two.
So right, maybe, right. Yeah, so what part of, it's like, what part of non-dual don't you understand, right?
Right. But again, it's a very common misconception. And
yes,
it causes
yes.
a lot of unnecessary suffering, because people will have a sense of the truth of who they are, but their field of perception hasn't changed, so they think they missed it.
Right.
And then they go looking for great experiences, which aren't it. If it's an experience, it means it has a beginning, middle, and end, and it's already been labeled, categorized, and filed away in the mind. But that which is before experiencing, during experiencing, and after experiencing is changeless.
Right. Right. And I know that the Sedona method operates a lot with feelings and how to relate to feelings, and
yeah.
and I mean, and in a sense, those are an aspect of the field. You know, they're part of what's arising. You know, at a given point. And so, how does the method, you know, relate to things like emotion?
Well, the Sedona method is based around that, a great access point to both dissolving our attachment and aversion and our sense of being locked into the illusion of being a separate individual is done on an emotional level. So if you work on it from the level of feeling, it goes much faster and deeper than thinking about it. And the same thing, though, is true about all our apparent limitations in life. They're locked in on an emotional level, too. The thinking follows the emotion. Most people have it backwards. They think if they can control their thinking, then they can control their lives. But nobody controls their thinking, because it's not their thinking. It's simply thinking.
Sure.
And the attempt to control your thinking is just more thinking. But as you simply let go, what happens is you become more self-aware, and you see what's actually here now, as opposed to what you hope is here, you wish were here, or you wish weren't here. All that are smoke screens,
right,
that are just simply waves of awareness.
Right. So using emotion, really, or feeling, as a portal into this awareness, as a more effective portal than thinking, really, because you're at least more connected to what is, it feels like, you know, to something rather than just an idea.
Yes, absolutely. And the body is a bridge too. A lot of people will try to ignore the body or get away from the body. But if you can start by just simply welcoming the sense perceptions that are coming through the body-mind, that becomes an opening as opposed to a barrier or a hook. Mm-hmm. It's only a hook or a barrier when you're resisting it, when you're wanting to change it, when you're wanting to fix it, when you're trying to push it away.
Yeah. And I imagine that letting go, you know, which I know a lot, so much of your work, you know, is focused on that principle, or that practice really involves letting go of resistance.
Well, you're letting go of, not only you're letting go of resistance, you're letting go of all illusion.
Right.
Because again, this is relative, but it helps make a point. Right now, try to let go of your hand. You can't.
Right, right.
But you can let go. Anything that you can let go of, is it real? And most of what we experience are things that we can just let go of. It's our, we live in a mental world as opposed to the physical one. We live in a world based on what was and what might be, as opposed to what is. Now, the physical world, of course, is a projection too, but if you at least are present to the projection, you can deal with it appropriately, and you're not tripping over it all the time. You know, you've probably heard the story of the man who meditated in the cave for 30 years and was in this amazingly expanded state of awareness. He decided he wanted to test it, and he went to the market. And he'd been spending after 30 years in a cave, and after only just a few minutes in just the local market, this is an Indian story, you can tell. he was so overwhelmed that he had to go back to the cave because he couldn't deal with life.
Yes.
Because just simply cutting off from or going above it isn't it. And I agree with what you said in the very beginning, or maybe it was in the introduction, I can't remember, but in my experience, unless we start dealing with what's actually here now,
yes,
as opposed to our beliefs about it, our hopes and dreams about it, or dread and worry about it, what's actually here is actually here, at least on the level of illusion. And if you can really deal with what's actually here, then you can actually do things to support this planet on which we all live. But if you're dealing from hope, or you're dealing from fear, or you're dealing from anger, or you're dealing from any illusion, all you're going to be doing is adding to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so my experience is that as people let go, they naturally become part of the solution. They don't have to try to make a positive impact on the planet. Everything they do becomes a positive impact.
Mm. Yeah. It's, you know, sometimes I talk about ascending and descending practices, you know, ascending practice being what the guy is obviously doing in the cave. You know, it's sort of
right.
The Buddhist principle of, you know, a kingdom not of this world, you know, or nirvana, as opposed to, you know, get out of samsara as quick as possible, get into nirvana. But, you know, like you said earlier, I mean, you know, this is a non-dual, you know, what part of what a non-dual realization is that it really, it's everything. You know, emptiness is form, form is emptiness. And so, you know, the descending practice, which you see more in the Mahayana tradition, but the descending practice of like, you know, opening your heart, you know, to the world and having compassion you know, really allowing yourself to feel, in a sense, the pain of the pain in the world, to admit it, in a sense, as a way of, you know, really being, you know, it's sort of the bodhisattva principle, in a sense, and it's that's why I appreciate so much about what you're saying, is you know, is that you know, the work and the method really is about bringing people into their bodies and being able to take this awareness, this enlightenment, and live it through their lives.
Yes, absolutely. But I just want to make a comment. Both ascending and descending are moving away. Whether you're trying to ascend into nirvana or dive into the core of the deepest
yes.
suffering, that's still moving away from that which is already right here, right now. So the... again, there's nothing wrong with those practices, but it's just something that came as you said that, is that the meeting place of ascending and descending is right here, right now.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yeah, and it's, yeah, exactly. It's like, and it gives me the image of a circle or a spiral, in a sense, where, you know, even whether, you know, we're moving up or we're moving down or we're moving whatever, ultimately it's like we're moving towards the center, towards which you know, I think is, you know, best referred to as here and now.
Sure.
It's like it's a path to here, in other words.
Right. But let me turn that on its head.
Sure.
I keep doing something.
I'm familiar with the Zen koan practice, and I just love it.
Actually, I'm not trying to be doing koans, but they may happen anyway. But
well, it's the same principle, basically. You know, it's like you take the thought or the idea, and you know, in a sense, it's just, you know, again, pointing to the truth. So please go by all means.
Yes. So right now, try to get out of the now. See if you actually can.
I can't imagine where I would go or what.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. But see, that's again another belief that we all have, that we need to be here now. What we are is here now. It is the now. So our trying to get into the now is again moving away. It's ignoring that which is already self-obvious, or that which is shining in plain view, going on a wild goose chase. It's not. There's no need to try to get into the now, or whether you're ascending or descending or moving towards the source or moving towards the center, all movement is an appearance in or on that which you are.
Right,
and that
right.
which you are is right here. Right now, and even those are just words.
Right. It's it's the direct teaching that I appreciate. That there's nothing that you don't need to do anything, and literally any effort that one makes to achieve enlightenment or to achieve awakening. Whether it's through an ascending practice or a descending practice, is essentially moving away from it, because it's the always already truth of the present, mm-hmm. right here,
yeah.
right now.
No, absolutely. And if practicing happens, it's what's supposed to be happening. There's nothing wrong with practicing. You know,
right.
some people who are listening to this are probably going, well, I don't want to throw out my practice. I like it.
That's right.
And a lot of people...
Well, there's always the absolute and relative, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And it's so... Oh, wait, what was that?
No, I was just going to say, a lot of people would consider the Sedona method a practice, and it can be used as a practice. But it's a lot more than that if you really let it reveal its true depth. Then it's no longer practice, but it's an exploration of what's already here, already now.
Right. So more of an inquiry than a practice or a method.
Yes, exactly. The Lester Levinson, my mentor and the man who inspired this work, used to think that the closest teachings to the Sedona method from the East were the teachings of Ramana Maharshi and Nisargadatta Maharaj.
Yes,
And because in a way, it's just using questions to either shed the desire and fear, as Nisargadatta would say, are the obstructions to discovering the truth of who you are, or using questions to actually directly perceive or experience that at least the results of that truth. You can't experience the truth itself, because that's already two. But for instance, as we're having this conversation, you're probably noticing that your heart is opening already. Your body is relaxing. Something is opening inside. Now those are just symptoms. They aren't the truth. But they're certainly nice, and there's nothing wrong with them. Then they're great motivators to keep us focused on this type of conversation.
Right. It was, as we were talking earlier, it was reminding me of the conversation I had with Eli Jackson Bear a couple weeks ago, who, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a...
Oh, of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He, you know, obviously studied under Papaji, who studied under Ramana Maharshi, and so that, you know, that method of self-inquiry, who am I, right? As sort of, well, you know, it changed a little bit as it was passed through, but I just was thinking about that as we were, pointing to that truth, And I, you know, and so directly.
Yes. So,
but you know, like you said, I mean, it's there's everything is perfect just as it is, you know, and even perfect is, you could say, is more than, you know, I think Papaji would say, keep quiet. You don't even call it perfect, you know.
Right.
I personally, the word perfect comes up too often for me to authentically not call it perfect. But, you know, in a sense, it's like everything is perfect just as it is. It's as it should be, right? And simultaneously, everything is really messed up. And the world is... you know, just kind of, there's a lot of suffering. And I feel like that's kind of where something like a method may arise. You know, it's almost
absolutely. Yeah. And again, if you're deeply suffering, now, of course, there have been people who have awakened in the depths of suffering, but that's rare. What usually, if people are suffering, are lost in suffering, they're so busy suffering or trying to survive as the sufferer. They have no time to actually notice what's actually here or actually now. And so what the Sedona Method does is it shows you how to see through all these illusions that are causing discomfort or causing you, even on a very practical level, that are preventing you from being successful, for instance. If once you're already successful, as long as you don't get too attached to it, then it no longer is an issue. Once you already have a loving relationship, and it's an open, loving relationship, it's no longer an issue. So it frees up energy to focus on truth. Once you're not struggling just to be comfortable in your skin and in the physical body, then you have frees up energy to focus on that which you are. So the Sedona Method works, again, from both directions. It works from the direction of just alleviating suffering and supporting people in achieving whatever it is they want in life, because what we find is that a lot of people, again, start, as we mentioned earlier, start with just wanting to have more things.
Mm-hmm.
But as they start to get the things and they realize they're still not happy, they're happier, but they're not happy, then the thing lose their interest. And then you start to focus more on what the things represent. And then you keep going deeper until you realize that there is no incompleteness. There's already this wholeness. And that's what you are.
Right. So could you give us an example of just maybe an aspect of the method, a practice?
Absolutely. One of the tools that we teach is something called triple welcoming. And what that is, first off, when you welcome what is, that's a doorway or an opening to seeing through whatever illusion is presenting at the moment. What we're generally doing is we're fighting with it. We're saying no. We're resisting. We're judging. We're evaluating. We're trying to move away or trying to grab onto, which is all just not simply allowing what is to be, but welcoming is allowing what is to be, at least for a moment.
Right.
So the first step of triple welcoming is to welcome whatever is being experienced in the moment. And you can use this even on deep sorrow, deep issues, deep anger, whatever it is. And you can use it on simple things, too. So you start by welcoming whatever the issue is, or whatever the belief is, or whatever the spinning energy is that's got your attention. And then the next level is welcoming your desire to fix it or change it or do something with or about it. Our desire to fix it or change it or do something with or about it is what keeps it spinning. It's like trying to slow down a spinning object by using your hand to keep tapping it. And that just makes it more.
Yes.
And then lastly, we welcome any sense that it's personal, that it's about you or who you are. That sense of identifying with the story, the drama, the issue, is the main thing that gives it life. And it isn't yours, because there is no you to own it. But you don't have to understand that intellectually, and you don't have to try to make that jump. In just welcoming those three things, what happens is something opens and lets go inside. And this is like bringing a hot knife to butter. Mm. But you use this process, it just cuts through whatever illusion you're holding onto at the moment, or whatever issue is presenting itself, because you're welcoming the three things that hold it all together, and then you start to see through it. So I'll do a process now. I'm not going to do it with you. I'm going to do it with you and everyone listening.
Oh, great.
And then I'll just check in with you, see how you experience. But I always do that because when I do, I try to do that when I do interviews, because it can get awkward when you put the interviewer on the spot, and it's not necessary.
I'm excited. This will be good.
Okay, good. So in this moment, everyone think of some issue in their lives that's been causing suffering. It could be something with your relationships, something with your health, something with your money, something with your happiness, even something with your spiritual path or your path to awakening. And whatever comes to mind, it doesn't matter. Once you do this process, you'll discover that it's something you continue to do easily on your own. So in this moment, could you just simply welcome what it is that came to mind? And then just notice how your body feels, what sensations it brings up in the body, and what sounds are generated in the mind, what thoughts, and what pictures. And could you just simply welcome all of that? Welcome the thoughts, the feelings, the beliefs, the attitudes, the memories. Welcome whatever's arising. Just to let it be here as best you can. Just relax and open inside. And then could you also welcome any wanting to fix it or change it or control it? Any wanting to do something with or about it? Any wanting to push it away or hold it close? And then could you welcome as well any sense that it's personal, that it's about you or who you are, any sense of me or mine, you or yours. And then could you welcome too the emptiness or the space or the isness or the beingness on or in which that whole thing is spinning, that whole thing merely appears. Just simply notice what's happening inside as you do that. Okay, good. So how did that feel?
Well, I noticed, right away that it felt like successive steps of opening or relaxation,
right.
In the area that I was focusing on. But what I really liked is that it wasn't, I can still feel that it was because it was a step-by-step process that, at no point did any step feel like it was too big of a step to take.
Right.
It felt comfortable I can handle that step. Versus what I think happens, to people a lot, and certainly myself included, is that, there's this feeling like you have to let the whole thing go all at once, but again, even like I said, it's like that feeling like you have to do something, which is part of what you were saying to let go of. Or to welcome, I should say, part of you that wants to fix it. I just felt like it was very, very gentle and very, just a very nice, pace for welcoming and then, allowing that experience to really, dissolve is the other word that came to me.
Right. That's what happens. Again, I've seen people work on issues that every other tool or technique and every other therapist and training didn't touch, Just do this a few times and it's gone. Because this kind of distills the essence behind what all these other things are trying to do. And it's done in a very gentle way, but it's extremely powerful. I'll give you just one example. Let me see if I can think of one that's appropriate for this. Well, one example is there was someone was dealing with extreme pain, which had been triggered decades ago from physical and emotional abuse, and they'd been fighting against it their whole lives. And just by doing this process, we did it, I think, two or three times, the whole thing just unraveled, and they were pain-free for the first time they could remember. And the last time I checked with them, the pain had never come back.
Wow.
But at the same time, if you notice, right now, there's also this greater sense of just simply that presence of awareness that you are. It's more self-obvious to itself. And so even though we were focusing on a specific issue, what was left over is that which has no issues.
Yes, right. Yeah, it's that aspect of us that really is radically free of any issue.
Yes.
And it's sometimes, you know, it's, I know for myself personally, is that's sort of the balancing act that I sometimes go through, which is, you know, holding that empty ground, even in the midst of some kind of contraction, you know,
right.
whether it's a thought or a feeling. And, you know, sometimes the layers of the contraction, there can be so many subtle layers, you know, to the onion of it that,
right.
that I, you know, I can't, the knot is beyond me. You know, it's like, this knot just doesn't want to loosen up, whichever one it is.
Sure. So, all right, try it using this and see what happens. But the other thing is, be aware of that. You don't need to worry about losing the ground of awareness. It's as easy to do as getting out of the now. The reason we think we can lose it is because what comes and goes is the mind. The thoughts, the feelings, the beliefs from the past and the anticipation of the future, that's not here all the time. It comes and goes. But that which you are is or always that which is here now. So that doesn't move. But we often mistake being more aware of that as that having just shown up again. And once you notice that never moves, what comes and goes is the mind, then you can let it come and go, and it unravels itself because you're no longer that concerned with it, because you know it isn't what you are. It's like a wave on the ocean of awareness that you are, and that the ocean doesn't try to control the waves. It just lets them flow.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, I think for myself, you know, there was a point where that awareness, or this awareness, you know, just, no matter what happened, no matter what the contraction was or whatever the life situation, there's always just this, you know, it's sort of a, I don't know, it becomes more consistent, you know, and I know that I had a period of time, you know, and I know there's probably a lot of listeners who may be going through this where, you know, their awareness of it's paradoxical, because it's, you say, I'm becoming aware of it. And I think this is what you spoke to. You say, I'm becoming aware of it, but no, you're already aware of it. There was never a point where you weren't aware of it. It's everything that is. It's closer to you than your own skin. You know, I mean, it's closer than the nose on your face, some people will say. And, And yet, you know, there's this sort of in and out experience.
Right. And that's very common and normal and should not be worried about at all. But at the same time, it's not something to be aware of, even. Even that's too much work. If you're trying to be aware of awareness, you're already creating duality. And awareness simply is. What's actually happening is awareness is having a human experience. What often happens as a seeker is we start trying to have an experience of awareness. And then in order to do that, we have to identify as a me that's trying to get to awareness.
Right.
But awareness is already having this experience, whatever it is, whether it's supremely peaceful or blissful, or it's extremely contracted and painful.
Yes.
That's still awareness experiencing.
Yeah. I think it's probably a great reminder for those people that, you know, are still experiencing that in and out, you know, that hey, there is no out. There's no
right.
In, there's no out.
Exactly. Right. So let the apparent in and out just happen. If you try to stop it, that's just that all that does is deepen your belief in that there's someone here who can lose something.
Right. I just am so, I was just thinking about just how fortunate I feel to be able to, you know, to talk to, you know, the people in our world who, like yourself, who are waking up. I mean, there's people, well, and I should say, like, you know, the, like yourself, who have been awakened and you know, and are integrating it and actually, you know, taking it to the world. I know that, I mean, it just gives me a lot of hope, you know. Each time I talk to someone, it's like, wow, this person is profoundly awake. You know, this is God pretending to be a person, you know, and really bringing awakening and healing and evolution to the world. So,
right. But this is not something that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Nor is your the interviewing something you're doing. It's all one dance. So it's
right.
Important not to put anyone who's had any sense of the truth of who they are up on a pedestal, because that creates an artificial distinction. I think it was Nisargadatta who said, the only difference between someone who's awake and someone who isn't is the one who's awake knows there's no difference. But the mind is generally focused on differences, better or worse, more or less, happy or sad, all these polarities that are artificial, and they artificially break apart the underlying unicity.
Yeah, one thing that came up again in that interview I was mentioning about with Eli was that, you know, why do anything? You know, that question of, well, you know, if there's no doer, then why, you know, like, or if it's, you know, if there's no need, in a sense, to do anything, which I think is, that's the truth is, nothing needs to be done, then why do anything? And, you know, I don't know. What would you say? I mean, what's the point? If it's all, you know what I mean? Why do anything?
Right. But first off, why not?
Oh, I like that. I like that.
But secondarily, are you doing anything now? Just check. Check to see if right now you're doing the thinking. Or is thinking merely happening? Do you know what your next thought is going to be? No. No one does. Do you know which thought you're going to act on and which one you're not? You don't. Some thoughts get acted on and some don't. In fact, if you pay close attention, you'll notice that most action happens before the thought. They're even discovering that in neuroscience, that the thought, I should move my arm, happens just after the arm starts moving.
Oh, interesting.
So right now, you're already not doing anything. Even if you're engaged in a practice, even if you're engaged in a profession, even if you're engaged in a relationship, even if you appear to be interviewing someone on the radio or on the web, that isn't you doing it. It's simply the dance of awareness, the energy just dancing with itself. And it's not personal, and it's not a doing. There's certainly action, but there's no actor. That's already the case. And if you don't believe me, in this moment, see if you can actually find a doer.
My secret's out, or you know, the secret's out.
Right.
You know, you can. It's like. You're on to me.
Well, no, I'm not really on to you. I'm on to the human condition. We all fall into these imaginary loops that are pure imagination. We imagine we're doers. But there's certainly doing that happens from the body-mind. I mean, that's how one of the ways awareness interrelates with this illusion called the world. But it isn't something you need to change in any way just because you know that what you are. It will do, it's already spontaneously, the now is already taking care of itself. And whatever the body-mind is doing in this moment is already spontaneously happening exactly as it should be.
Right, right, yeah. And it's, you know, when sometimes... in different, you know, meditation states, part of the realization, I could say, or part of what awakening is, you realize that, you know, the ego isn't doing anything. That's true. You know, like there's no doer, like there's no self in a sense, you know, there's no, you know, anatman, right? The Buddhist principle of no self.
Right.
And there, you know, and then you talk about the self, right? The capital S self, which is more, you know, you see more in the Vedic tradition. And in a sense, that's the one who's doing everything. And in a sense, it's like, you know, even to the extent of breathing the breath, breathing my breath in this moment and beating my heart. And that's, you know, part of the one realization, you know, just that, one way of, I think, realizing emptiness or consciousness is that you realize that, you know, it's another way of saying the exact same thing, I believe, as there's no doer, is saying there's one doer. There's only
right.
one that's doing anything.
Right, but the problem is with that is what the mind does with that is it anthropomorphizes that and thinks that someone else is deciding when you should breathe, even if it's that it's only one. Other, it's still other. So, when we say that there's only one doer, that still is a belief in the doer. But there's certainly doing, there's certainly action, there's certainly breathing.
Well, I mean, it's hard to have a conversation without creating, you know, without using language. You know?
It's impossible. One of the things I do with my seminars is I always say, hey, just let's be clear here, and I'm not going to tell you the truth, and anything I say is a lie.
And I like
don't
that.
Don't believe a word I say, because it's just words. They're just concepts.
Right.
Everything we've been discussing the past hour or so is just pointers towards that which is already here, already now.
Right.
And as Papaji said, that's already too many words.
Yeah, keep quiet.
Yes, keep quiet.
Right.
Because Lester Levinson used to say the highest teachings Father Simon teachings. But, you know, it's if we both sat in silence for an hour on the radio, they would disconnect this conversation and replace it with some other recording.
Yeah, are we having technical difficulties or what's going on over there?
Exactly.
For me, the silence is the most potent teaching. You know, and Muktananda, who I've kind of aligned with the lineage, from Nityananda to Muktananda, and so I have some experience with that. And you know, Nityananda was largely silent. You know, he was known as a silent guru, and there are many of these. I mean, literally, their entire teaching is done in silence.
Yes, and that's very common.
And it's very powerful as well.
Very, but it's hard to do on a mass scale.
Exactly. Well, you know, and that's why you and I are having any conversation at all, right?
I think
it goes back to what you said is, you know, at the beginning, like people come to you, maybe it's to improve their golf game or whatever. You know, the mind in a sense is the idea of a self is sort of the doorway a lot of times towards, you know, becoming a nobody.
Right.
You know, you got to be, it's almost like you have to be a somebody before you can be nobody.
Yes. No, absolutely. I another teacher that I respect and I spent some time with was a teacher named Robert Adams, who was also a fully realized devotee of Ramana Maharshi.
Oh, wow.
And he used to say his brother-in-law used to call him a good-for-nothing, and he used to say, thank you.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Gosh, it's almost like when you're in that depth of realization, it's like every form is God loving you, basically, you know, it's all your own self arising as a loving gesture to yourself.
Yeah. And that's exactly what's happening right now.
Oh. Well, I love when myself speaks so plainly as you have today, Hale. Just pointing me right back to those holy and whole places within.
Good. So we're just about out of time, so let me just say a few things.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you to kind of offer your message.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So first off, right here, right now, you're already whole. You're already complete. You're already enough as you are. You already are the presence of awareness that's aware of what's being said in this moment. And also right here, right now, that sense of me, that sense of limitation, that sense I can, I don't know how, I'm afraid, is just an illusion that you can see through in any moment. And the thoughts, the feelings, the beliefs, the attitudes, the ideas that you think are causing you suffering are just that. They're just thoughts or feelings or beliefs or ideas. They're not you. And they're not facts. And you can let them go. And so just know that whatever it is that appears to be holding you back in this moment isn't. It's just an illusion, and you can be free of it if you choose. And yes, there is no chooser.
Yes.
And I'm using words.
Amen. Well, it's a beautiful message, Hale, and I just know our listeners are going to really benefit from this, just for those of you who want to connect with Hale, you can go to Sedona.com and lettinggo.tv. Hale, just, you know, deep bow and a lot of gratitude for you taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And a deep bow right back at you.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to Awaken Life. We'll see you next week. Take care.
You're listening. listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there. Hey, everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world. Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to uplevel their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.